which you I love and yearn for every day. Fill me up, fill me, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Renew in me the joy which I once knew. This cup, fill it, Lord, fill me with your love and power, 'cause there's nothing I desire more than you. Hear my cry, Lord, hear my cry, oh Lord, for it's you I love and yearn. My cry, Lord, hear my cry, oh Lord, for it's you I love and yearn for every day. Remove the sin so deep within by the power of your Spirit. Remove for me all that keeps me from you. Breathe through me, I need to be, Lord, forever in your presence, 'cause there's nothing I desire more than you.
Approach the holy place. to win. To hear your voice, Holy Spirit, come and touch us. We invite you. Yeah.
To you, the sacrifice of praise. your glory fill this house. Let your praises fill our mouths. Let each vessel offer up to you a sacrifice of
would confess up, if all the disgruntled folk would clear up, if all the depressed folk would cheer up, if all the estranged folk would make up, if all the gossipers would shut up, if all the true soldiers would stand up, if all the dry bones would shake up, if all the church members would pray up, then we would have revival. One evangelist, someone came and asked an evangelist one time, he says, how do you get revival? He says, do you have a place where you go and pray privately? He says, yes. He says, go there, get a piece of chalk, draw a circle around where you pray, and you stay in that circle and you pray until revival comes into that circle. You know, that's in order for the world to be revived, we've got to be revived. And if you think you're here tonight and you don't need to be revived, you're deceived. You are deceived. At the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to allow the fire of God to fall on you. And don't hesitate. Don't even think about it. Don't even give the enemy an opportunity to step in and try to talk you out of it. You need to come quickly. Amen. Because the fire is falling. Amen. And I promise you, it'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. We need to, folks, we need to get right with God. How many of you know that's true? We live in a country where 148 million people attend church on Sunday morning. On one given Sunday morning, that is more people than go to all the sporting events all year long on one Sunday morning, and yet Christianity ranks number 89th in the things that influence the American way of life. You can take a Gallup poll, and over 76% of the people say that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And yet, crime is as rampant as it has ever been. There is perversion and debauchery. I don't even know what that word means, but it sounds bad. But it's on every corner. And the problem is this, is that the world has become more churchy, and the church has become more worldly, and the fire of God wants to fall and get the world out of the church and to get the church into the world. Amen. We need to allow the fire of God to fall. I'm telling you, if you can watch a movie where a person of the opposite sex is nude or begins to have sex and don't feel convicted by it, then you need to get right with God. Amen. If you can sit there and watch that, or if you can look at somebody other than your spouse or somebody that you've done and you look at them and you say, wow, what a hunk, or she's a babe, then you need to get right with God. Amen. You can't have that in your spirit and try to minister to those kinds of people. You need to let the fire of God hit you. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter. First Peter 4. The fire of God falls. Initially in the form of judgment. 4 verse 17 makes this statement. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? There's two ways you can read that. Number one, the way that we would immediately read it is that if the judgment falls on us, his children, how hard will it be on those who are not his children? Or another way of looking at it is this way. How I respond to God's judgment will determine the outcome of those who don't know him. If I respond correctly, then the outcome for them will fare greatly. But if I run from the judgment, instead of embrace the judgment, not only am I doomed, but I'm dooming them as well. Does that make sense? Amen. I want to tell you that this passage, for a lot of times, I would skip over it because I never liked to talk about the judgment of God. I thought that before I was saved, that was an issue, but once I met Jesus, then that wouldn't be an issue for me. That when the judgment of God came, I would be in that group that he would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I didn't like the word judgment. Every time I heard that word, judgment of God, sinister kind of music would go off in my head. I mean, I couldn't say it or hear it without thinking musical terms like dun, 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 dun. Judgment. And the reason why is because all my experience with judgment had always been bad experiences. They were negative experiences. When I was 8 years old, I was judged too small. And so I didn't make the basketball team. And that judgment brought some real pain in my life. When I was 10 years old, I was judged not good enough for the Little League. And so they put me on the team, but I played right field, bat at last, and I only played 2 innings. I mean, you know, in Little League, you know that the person in right field is always the worst player. And whoever bats last, they wish there could be something longer than last. I mean, they wish you didn't have to bat, but they put you up there because they know you're an automatic out. And that was very difficult for me. I was judged too rowdy by the parents in my neighborhood, so they wouldn't allow their kids to play with me. I was judged more capable than I was by my own parents, which placed unrealistic expectations on me. I was judged too rebellious by school officials, and so they expelled me. I was judged unable to change by the United States government, and so they undesirably discharged me. I was judged too bothersome by my family, and so they turned their back on me. And I was judged too violent by society, and they sent me to prison. Now, though all these judgments were righteous, and they were true, and they were things that should have happened, how many know they didn't make it any less painful? Now, all of them were true except the first one. Even though I was small, I should have made the basketball team. I should have. I played big. I mean, I did. But that was the only one. But. Judgments for me, how many of you have always had negative connotations when you thought about judgment? And as a result, when we think of God's judgment, we put it into that category that if we get into God's judgment, we are going to lose. But I want to tell you, when God judges you, it isn't to make a loser out of you, it's to make a winner out of you. You don't lose with the judgment of God. You win. Because what happens is he judges the things that cause you to be a loser, and he builds up the things that causes you to be a winner. But it doesn't come without judgment. But from the moment I met the Lord Jesus, his judgments have been different than man's. Higher than man's. When the writers of the Bible talk about judgment, they don't talk about it in negative terminology. They use words like it's more precious than gold. They use words like it's sweeter than the honeycomb. They say when God judges you, you get enlightened. There's great reward. There is profit. There is warning. You perceive the glory of God. You see the majesty of God. All of those things in the midst of his judgment. In the midst, when the light comes and exposes, and that's the part we don't like, but when it does, when it exposes it, then we get in on all these other things. Let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Verse 9. It says here, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They, talking about the judgments, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them the judgments thy servant is warned. In keeping them there is a great reward. Now, one of the things that I have discovered, and I pray that you will discover, is that when we allow God to judge us, we allow the fire to fall on us, when it's done, what we ought to say, and what I am learning to say, is, wow, gold couldn't do for me what that did for me. It's more valuable than gold. Money couldn't buy me what that bought me. Or we could say, man, that was sweet. That was one of the sweetest things that ever happened to me. Not in its initial form, but what it matures into as you embrace it properly, that when God is through judging you, you will say, that was sweet. That was valuable. Let's turn over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Starting with verse 7. Before I read this, let me quote Acts 17:30 to you. It says this: therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. One translation says to wink at their ignorance. I want to tell you, there's been a season where God has, for sometimes in our lives, have winked at some things. But he is declaring now, because the stakes are too high. There's too much at stake. And the Lord is saying, I'm not winking anymore. I'm declaring to all men everywhere to repent. If you're using any kind of improper drug, legal or illegal, or you have a desire to do so, or you would if you had the opportunity, then you need to repent. You need to get right with God. That attitude is incompatible with the Spirit of God that resides within us. I want to tell you, the day where we're allowing things to peaceably coexist with the holiness of God, that day is gone. God is no longer, God is wanting to clean house. Say with me, my house needs cleaned. And I want to tell you, it's not something you dread, it's something you'll delight in. Because God is after something. Isaiah 26, I'm sorry. Verse 7. It says, the way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. How many of you want a level path and a smooth way? How many of you are tired of when you're walking on in God, all of a sudden you trip over some things? That your way has not been smooth. It's not been level. Sometimes it seems like it's an uphill walk. Other times there's things that constantly cause you to trip up every day. Well, the Lord says, I have a remedy. I have something that will smooth your way and will level your path. How many of you want it? I'm setting you up. You're saying yes to something. You have no idea what you're saying yes to. But whether you realize it or not, you need it. It says, indeed, while following the way of thy judgments, O Lord. Now, I want to tell you, the judgments of God are designed to smooth your way and to level your path. It's designed to bring the mountains down and the valleys up. It's designed to remove the obstacles that are keeping you from all that you can have in God. The obstacle that's keeping you from your healing, God's judgment will remove it. The obstacle that is keeping you from your victory in a certain area, God's judgment will remove it. Now the part you don't like is it also will expose it, but it can't expose it without removing it. Or it can't remove it without exposing it. And I want to tell you, I've been in 3 weeks of exposing. I've had to confess to everybody. I had to tell people things that I never wanted to tell people. I had to share because the fire of God was coming. But can I tell you, my way is a lot smoother. My path is a lot level. I don't have much of anything else, but I have a smooth way. I have a level path. And I want to tell you, a smooth way in God and a level path is worth anything that we can get in God. Somebody say amen. It goes on to say, we've waited for thee eagerly. Thy name, even the memory, is the desire of our souls. At night my soul longs for thee. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks thee diligently. For when the earth experiences thy judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Experiencing judgment equals learning righteousness. Say that with me. Experiencing judgment equals learning righteousness. You can't learn it any other way. I can't impart righteousness to you by the laying on of hands. But how many know the fire of God can? It can. It goes on to say, though the wicked is shown favor, how are they shown favor? They're judged right along with the righteous. They don't see it as favor. Can I tell you, when I was put into prison, given a 30-year sentence, that was the favor of God? How many know everybody else with a 30-year sentence did not see it as the favor of God? But God, His favor was in it because in the midst of that, embracing that, it made my way smooth and my path level. It helped me. It didn't hurt me. What tore down everyone else built me up. Now, God had judged them. There was favor in it. He says they did not perceive the majesty of the Lord. That's what it goes on to say. I saw in the midst of that 30 years, I saw favor and I saw majesty. You understand? Amen. When God judges you, it's not to hurt you. It's to help you. Now, there is some pain, but the help is worth the hurt. Say that with me. The help is worth the hurt. And not only will we get helped, but there's a world out there that is waiting for the people of God to be men enough and women enough to allow the fire to come on them so it can be spread through them. The fire doesn't come on you. It will not be spread through you. It will not. The fire has to be ignited in your own heart before you can ignite it in the hearts of other people. One of the problems that we have in trying to warm up the hearts of the unsaved is our own hearts have become cold. The fire of God wants to warm us. See, a lot of us like being around the fire of God. I mean, you know, it's nice to be around a fire. But God says, I want you to get in the fire. And can I tell you something real quick? I was going to save this for later, but I'm going to throw it right up front. Either way, you're going to get in the fire. You either get in, or one day you'll be thrown in. But you're going to get in the fire. And the